Is your business plan very unclear? And you're tirelessly working at a low-paying career? Let's help you get out of the rut and let go of the fear. It's time to excel into the million-dollar stratosphere. Now, here's your host of The Balanced Millionaire, who will take you there, Eileen Mendel.
Hello, everyone. My name is Eileen Mendel, and I am your host of the Balanced Millionaire Show. I have today with me two very special guests and my co-host, AJ Mata. Right, AJ?
Right, I'm right here. I'm right out there with you.
On this show, you will learn from industry experts on how to catapult your business, as well as effectively get the financial resources that are available to help you with your business needs. Without further delay, let me share with you about our first guest, Tamara Golden. Tamara, she is...
Hi, Eileen.
Hi, Tamara. How are you? How are you today?
I am well.
She's the owner of Golden Journeys Travel. And she's a destination travel and retreat planner. Well, let me tell you a little bit about her. Tamara works with coaches and transformational leaders to distinguish themselves from the competition, go deeper with their clients, increase profits, and travel to beautiful destinations with all expenses paid. She does this by partnering with them in planning custom retreat experiences here in the U.S. and abroad. Combining 20 years in travel, event planning, and coaching, Tamara is particularly well-suited to working with entrepreneurs in the transformational and personal growth sector to plan retreats that stay true to their brand and training content while meeting the needs of their clients. Her proprietary planning process ensures a high-value experience and a successful, profitable outcome. Tamara is a certified life coach who also holds a master's degree in Italian language and literature. She lived for several years in Italy and is fluent in Italian and conversant in French with a basic understanding of German. She has personally traveled throughout Europe as well as Africa, Asia, Southeast Asia, Central America, and the South Pacific. Her passions include travel, art, architecture, dance, food, and I want to know a little bit more about how you got into this whole area in the first place.
Into retreat planning?
Yes. Just give us a background on how you got into this.
it's going to be a little circuitous, as many of us tend to find at the end when we find our niche. Finally, we look back and we realize we've gotten there not by a linear route but by a circuitous one. So that includes me as well. It really was a path. It started with my working as a life and career coach for 20 years, and during that time, travel and event planning were a significant aspect of my role, but my principal role was really focused on the life and career coaching. I then made a transition to doing the travel full time. And when I first got started doing the travel, I was doing what you would think of in the classical way of a travel agent, booking honeymoons and anniversary trips, bucket list trips, and that was all well and good. I love the variety of it. I love learning about all the different destinations, serving my clients, certainly. But I have to be honest with you that personal growth and transformational piece was no longer there, and I really missed it. And so to come full circle back to retreat planning, it really is the niche within the travel industry that best suits my skill set and also this passion that I have for personal growth, healing, and transformation.
Wow, that sounds great. What do you think about that, AJ?
So how do you not like someone that's named Tamara Golden? You know what I mean? So like,
yeah, I love your name.
How do you not like that, right? Thank you. For, I mean, for that energy, because you know, I was just reading something today that it's all about energy, and it's like your name is just that amazing energy. And I know this isn't an infomercial, but I really want to say that to you. Can you tell us a little bit more? And if I may ask you this, is that so? Tell me again about the travel thing. Can you help clarify that just a little bit more for us about how this the travel aspect focuses in all this whole thing for you? And because I've never heard anything like this, and I've heard a lot.
All right, I'm happy to. Well, AJ, here's what I can tell you from being inside the industry. So, and this is going to be probably interesting for your readership and very relevant to why it is that I really encourage coaches and entrepreneurs to even think about retreats, because the single fastest growing niche within the travel industry is what's called wellness travel. All right. So let me introduce you to wellness, the concept of wellness travel. That is vacationing while enhancing one's physical, mental, or spiritual well-being. So people don't just go on a vacation. Yes, that's a well and good and go with the family, but a lot of people want something more, a lot more. They want to be somehow transformed when they come back from their travels, whether that's domestic travel or overseas travel. So this whole industry of wellness travel is really blowing up. It's grown 14% in the last 2 years alone, and that's nearly double what the growth of the overall tourism industry. So that's become, this wellness travel has become a $563 billion with a B industry worldwide. So when we talk about retreat planning, the retreats, they are absolutely within this body of wellness travel that we're talking about. And so it's something that it really shouldn't be overlooked, because it's something that people want. There's a yearning for it. There's a desire for it. And somebody with a coaching business that's working with clients on some sort of deeper work, and that can be, it could be a business coach, it could be a relationship coach, it could be a life coach, it could be any number of modalities that somebody works with their clients. But the whole idea is to pick your clients up, take them off somewhere offsite to a destination, whether it's in the U.S. or overseas, and give them a really unique transformational experience. And I can talk to you a little bit more about what a retreat looks like, but I'm going to stop there and see if that answers your question about what you were wanting to understand about this whole world of retreats.
So can I repeat it back to you just to make sure I wrap my head around it? And
yeah.
Our listeners did. So, so basically what happens is you're saying to the coach and say, look, you know, you can take your client to whatever level you're going to take them, whether it be personal or business-like coaching. However, though, you got to get them out of their space. And then when you get out of the space, then they want to go to someone like Tamara Golden to be able to say, here's how you get out of your space and here's the outlets for you to get out of your space. Yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So, I mean, the whole point of doing
very, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And let me, AJ, thanks for bringing it up, because I want your listenership to understand something very, very clearly. When I talk about a retreat, let's make sure we're on the same page. So a retreat has, to me, three fundamental components. There's an instructional piece to the day, but it's not the whole day. All right. It's some instructional piece. You're going to drip that over time. You're going to, whether it's a 3-day retreat, 7-day retreat, you're going to drip a little bit of information, instruction, training each day. There's then some sort of opportunity in the day to interact as a group and with the destination. Super important. How many of us have gone to a weekend conference where we went to some beautiful city and the only thing we saw was the inside of a conference room? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Yes, you can. Amen.
You know, and what a bummer, because you get back on the plane and you're like, I've always wanted to go to that destination. Too bad I didn't see anything of it. So super important component of the retreats is interacting with one another, interacting as a group and with the destination. That could be meals, a sightseeing excursion. It could be some sort of group activity, but you got to get out as a group and enjoying the destination. That's number two. Number three, this is the one people forget about. I'm going to say it. Some reflection time. All right. Some reflection time, a chance for people to really soak in the instruction and the training that you've delivered. So it could be some time for meditation, for journaling, just some alone time. And for God's sake, give your introverts a break. So I hear Eileen chuckling. So those are the three components. So let me make sure this is not a boot camp. This is not a conference. This is not a workshop, and it is not a course. This is a retreat, and those are the three elements.
I like that, Eileen. I like where she's going with this. She's saying, from what I'm getting out of this, she's saying that, okay, look, you know, I'm not here to be another coach. I'm not here to look at what your clients need to do any differently. I'm simply saying, look, you got clients, and they got to go someplace, and they got to take this information that you've been teaching them and get to some place to be able to resonate with that, meditate on it, connect with that, whatever. What do you think, Eileen? I mean, did you get it that way?
Yes, I've been on multiple retreats in my life, but I think what you're describing is when I've gone to a retreat that has all those elements, that's when I've had my best experience. Yes. And I think those are critical, critical pieces. And so can you describe for us like maybe one of the retreats that you've taken people on and how does that transpire? Just give us some visual images of what a real retreat, a good retreat and good experience would be.
All right. I'll give you an example of a 7-day retreat to Barcelona and Cadaqués in Spain. So this is a retreat done by a woman who is a relationship coach who has also done a lot in the personal styling, individual styling area as well. She had a background in that before she went into relationship coaching. And so it starts off with, there's some instructional pieces I mentioned every day. So they are doing exercises with, she's doing exercises with the group. She's doing some training with the group, obviously group discussions, dyads. And then they'll break for a meal either together or on their own. And then there's an activity every afternoon that's a sightseeing activity. But the thing of it is, it's an activity that absolutely has to speak to that group of clients that you have with you. So this is obviously a group of women who are on this retreat. So there's some time, and she's going to take advantage of her personal imaging background. They're going to do some high-end shopping in Barcelona. They're going to go and see some of the sites, some of the Gaudi architecture. And then they're going to, you know, spend a few days in Barcelona getting to know that city and spending some time together. Then they go up to Cadaqués for 3 days. Cadaqués is a little beautiful little town on the coast. It's where Salvador Dali used to spend 20 years doing a lot of his painting. And up there, there's a photo shoot for the women. This is something that's going to allow them to show off their new clothes, but also a chance for them to get some really good headshots and feel really empowered coming out of some of the work that they've done. So we've orchestrated the photo shoot in Cadaqués, and obviously a chance to, there's a lot of bonding up there. We orchestrated it at a particular time of the year where there's a festival happening in Spain at that time. So we get to really take place and get that local flair participating in that festival. And so it's really well thought out where it's yes, delivering the material, high value in that way, but also high value in terms of the authenticity and the overall experience that these clients are receiving. And that's really what you want to deliver. And what I work with my clients to think through is how to make this high value, not only in the content that you're delivering, that's a major component, but also in this experience that they're going to have of the destination and how they're going to bond as a group. Remember, those components I talked about. So that's just to give you a broad brushstrokes of an example. And I get excited even talking about it because it was glorious.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I mean, I'm all excited and I'm ready to go on one of these trips.
Want to go to Spain, doesn't it?
Yes. So
are you going to take me with you, Eileen, if you're going to go on one of these trips?
I mean, sure, AJ. Let's go.
I mean, Eileen, seriously, I am co-hosting with you. I mean, really? I mean, can I go with you if you're going to go?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I want to bring something up that's really important. And I know I've just sort of talked about, and it should be an amazing experience. It should be an amazing experience for the clients, and it should be an equally, very important, amazing experience for the retreat facilitator, right, for whoever's hosting it. But the bottom line is the bottom line, right? Your clients are on, and their listenership is thinking about how do they grow their business. So I want to be very clear that there's a whole process to thinking about how to incorporate retreats into your business. And it's the retreat is not the end game. Most people think about the retreat as the end game. It's not the end game. It's part of the offerings that you're thinking about bringing to your clients. It's a very special, unique offering. I mean, in this day and age of everything being so impersonal, I mean, we've got, you know, Facebook, and we've got everything's online and webinars, and God bless, even podcasting. And, you know, it's, we very infrequently do anything in person anymore. And to give your clients a piece, a big piece of you, and have that real, really special one-on-one time, you're getting them out of destination. They're in a different heart space. They're in a different head space, and they get to get some really intimate, deep work with you. And, you know, that's worth a lot, and they will pay a lot for that.
So tomorrow, how do I know if my business is retreat ready, and how do I arrange this with you? How does the whole process work?
I'm glad you asked, Eileen. Okay, so being retreat ready, you know, the first part of it, it's going to look like the workings of getting any business up and getting it robust and having it really succeed. So, you know, do you have a clear idea for who your clients are? Are you attracting them? Do you have an attraction process? Do you have a relationship building process? So do you have kind of this well-oiled machine for bringing clients in, and do you have a client base and a growing network? Okay, that's number one. That should really be the definition of any growing business and any successful business. Here's where I would say it differentiates for those who are interested in doing retreats. It's really around vision and around mindset. So are you ready to really play bigger and differentiate yourself? And not only in the eyes of your clients, here's the kicker. You are differentiating yourself. The minute you decide to host retreats, you are setting yourself up to increase your credibility in your industry. All of a sudden, everybody looks at you and goes, "Aho, what's she or he doing? Uh-huh, okay." Note taken. You know, they're doing something bigger over there. So it really increases your credibility. So if you're in that space where you're kind of feeling ready to grow, thinking about new sources of revenue, different ways of working with your clients, I would say looking for a retreat is something you should do. And bottom line, do you want to serve in a greater way? You've got to want to love to travel, and you've got to want to spend some quality time with your clients. If that doesn't resonate with you, retreats may not be for you. But if it does, it's something you should consider. And I offer online courses at different levels, whether people are just dipping their toe in the water and want to learn more, or they're ready to jump in and plan a retreat. I offer a series of courses that can get people where they need to go.
So Tamara, you offer different avenues for people to kick in as far as getting the retreat going. And do most people pick the A to Z where you do everything for them? Or what is on the average what most people are doing with you?
It's a combination, Eileen. It really depends on the facilitator. I would say a lot of folks who are still in growth mode tend to want to DIY. They want to do it yourself. And we've all been there. We know that. So they'll go with me as far as in the retreat planning as they can and really make sure they've got everything locked in and loaded, and then they'll implement themselves. I would say the folks who are playing at a bigger level, who obviously value their time and have want to really spend the time on the marketing and on the service of their clients, are allowing me, partnering with me, to really do it soup to nuts. And some even hire me to be there with them on the ground, whether that's here in the U.S. or overseas. So that's kind of the complete package. That's the highest end, is to have me actually with you and help you implement on the ground.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you today. Jay, do you have any other questions for Tamara?
I do. One last question for you is that before we love and leave you, is that so essentially your clients really are the business coaches, yes? And it's like you're sharing with them and like, listen, this is how you can round out your accounts. Is that the direction you're going with your business?
It absolutely, AJ, one correction on what you said. It's absolutely the coaches and the sole entrepreneur coaches that are my juju. But I love my coaches across the board. So they don't need to be a business coach. They could be a business coach, but they can be a relationship coach. They could be a life coach. It's anyone who really is working with their clients to move them forward personally and or professionally. That is really what I love to be a part of. And those are my clients, the folks who are working with their clients in turn to move them forward on that personal and professional trajectory.
So you're the wholesaler working with us, like other coaches, as a retailer, if you would. Like, so other coaches, let's say, for example, the retailer.
I'm a B2B.
Yeah, you're the B2B. That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that. I love that. That's great. So, Eileen, I think I got what I needed out of this one today. I mean, I love it. I love it.
Well, thank you very much, Tamara. We really, really enjoyed this interview with you. And I would love to have you back as a guest in the future, because I know a lot of people are interested in this. And, we really would like to actually do some things with you as far as my business to be able to talk about what the experience has been and how it actually would help my business as well. Okay,
wonderful.
Everyone. Okay, everyone, I hope you enjoyed this segment. We're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsor, and then you won't want to miss our next guest.
Before you go, Eileen, can we ask Tamara, where do people get a hold of her so they can find out?
How do you reach you?
Absolutely. The best way is Tamara@GoldenJourneysTravel.com. Tamara@GoldenJourneysTravel.com. And I've loved being on the show with you, and thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Hang on, we'll be right back.
Former highly paid corporate insider and expert in scaling businesses for over three decades, Eileen Mendel is a serial entrepreneur, business consultant, renowned speaker, and author. Tune in to The Balanced Millionaire on bbsradio.com, weekly on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to learn the secrets to working fewer hours and achieving financial breakthroughs, increased revenue, and prosperity, all while maintaining personal and professional balance and harmony. You can also hear us on iTunes, Google Play, iHeart, Stitcher, and Spotify. To schedule a private consultation about your business, call or text 760-450-6133 or visit InnerEdgeInternational.com.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Eileen Mendel again with The Balanced Millionaire. And I have today as our guest, Juan Anderson, the Credit Doc. Juan is the author of How I Fixed My Shady Credit, the best $3 you'll ever spend. So let me tell you a little bit about Juan. Juan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Eileen. I really appreciate being here.
So let me tell you about Juan. He has had three repos, three bankruptcies, evictions, garnished wages, and levied accounts, all by age 30. Best-selling author and shady credit recovery, Juan walked the walk of having the shadiest of shady credit. Juan has over 12 years of experience helping others repair their credit, in addition to fixing his own shady credit disaster scores. He has built up his personal credit access to over $150,000 with a median FICO score of 745. Determined to change his life around, Juan submerged himself into understanding the power of manifestation and visualization. He studied all the laws, credit, and disputes. Once discharged, he knew exactly what to do, and within 18 months, Juan increased his scores over 230 points and $125 in credit access, $125,000 in credit access. Juan graduated with a BS, MBA, and began educating others on the knowledge of credit and warnings of the danger if it isn't used the right way. So that's an interesting story, Juan. Tell us, what really happened in your childhood that this all came about? Give us a little history here.
Well, honestly, it was just more or less I was never really educated on the importance of credit. Finance really wasn't something that was discussed in my house. You know, coming from a single parent home, that just wasn't something that, you know, there was time to have discussions related to. So, I mean, kind of starting out into adulthood, I just was kind of born out, you know, related to that information, just kind of blind and learning on my own. So, and unfortunately, with learning on your own, typically you're going to make a lot of mistakes, which I did.
So you didn't talk about anything like this and how to maintain a good credit. And so it's, I guess you have some stories to tell about how you were able to get 3 credit cards by the time you were 18. How is that possible?
Yeah, honestly. Well, because, I mean, a lot of credit card companies do prey on, you know, uneducated, you know, college grads. So, I mean, I was someone who was very easily able to apply and get, you know, small credit cards, you know, right at my 18th birthday. So before you knew it, I had like 3. And, you know, because there was really no, you know, information provided around, you know, the importance of payments and, you know, maintaining your good credit, you know, the credit cards quickly went over the limit and quickly were charged off. And, you know, it just kind of went downhill from there. Unfortunately.
So what were you doing with those credit cards? Were you buying devices and, you know, what sort of things would you, I mean, I can't imagine an 18-year-old walking into a store and buying a car or something like that. I was like, what were you doing to rack up such high bills on your credit cards?
Eileen, it was trying to meet girls, for God's sakes. Seriously, at 18 years old?
and then, I mean, we're talking like, you know, 2 of the cards were like $500 and 1 was like $1,000. So they were relatively small credit limits to start out with. So, you know, going into a store, you know, at that point it would have been Macy's, you know, it's very easy to kind of charge, you know, one out to, you know, just the irresponsible thinking. It happened very quickly. It happens very quickly. You'd be surprised.
So did you have any income to support any of the payments for those cars? Were you working in a job at the time or a part-time job? Or
I had a job. It's like I said, it was just, you know, there was just never any sort of foundation given to, you know, financial responsibility and the importance of maintaining good credit. So I had a job, you know, I worked every day full-time, you know, I was out of high school. So, I just really didn't understand that, you know, these things needed to be paid, and I had to suffer and learn the hard way. So I'm just out here trying to prevent others from learning from mistakes like that.
So you were able to rack up enough bills where you couldn't pay them, and then you declared bankruptcy. Is that what happened? What happened at the age of 21?
By 21, I had a couple of repossessions by going to like bad car lots. I had an eviction. I had racked up credit card debt. I owed bank accounts. I had amassed so much debt at such an early age that I had no choice. I couldn't afford to pay it. I couldn't afford to pay it back. And, you know, kind of watching, you know, different struggles that my mom kind of went through growing up. You know, it just seems to be like my only way out. So, I mean, at 21, I kind of filed my first bankruptcy, which is, you know, pretty crazy, you know, by being so young and already having to do something so drastic, you know, because of your financial situation. But yeah, it was the beginning of a dark time. I'll say that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you emotionally, what were you going through?
Oh, I think at that point I just wanted out. And I think by being so young, I didn't really even emotionally connect with what was going on, if that makes sense. It was just kind of like, oh, whatever, you know, I could just kind of start over, And the process just was so easy that, you know, it was just kind of over in 4 months, and I just kind of moved on and just completely ruined my credit all over again.
So you weren't able to rent, or, you know, I mean, you had difficulties probably even with job applications. How did you get by during those rough times? What got you through? Did you get help from your mom or friends, or what happened?
Well, honestly, I just continue to work. I mean, because, you can't find jobs, you know, when you don't have good credit, you know, but related to, like, cars, I went to, like, buy here, pay here lots to get cars. I really couldn't apply for jobs that did, you know, include a credit, you know, a credit viewing, so to speak. There were no real credit cards of any value. Like, typically, there were secure cards. I just really went through a long period of just, you know, struggling. I delivered newspapers. I worked in call centers. It was just a very rough experience for me. And I think it kind of all began with not really understanding, you know, finances, you know, credit, and kind of how all those things really do play a part in your life, because whether we realize it or not, they do touch everything, you know, every part of our life, whether mentally, physically, whatever, you know. And I just had to learn the hard way through those different trials. So it was rough. But I made it out. So that's the most important thing.
Yeah, tell us about climbing out. How long did it take you to finally climb out so you can, you know, have your life back?
I would say after my failed business in my mid-20s, I started to kind of understand the importance of credit, because I really couldn't – it damaged my business because it wouldn't allow it to grow. So it was probably out there a period of about 5 years where I kind of did some soul searching, and I kind of really started, and that was about 25 at that point. So by 30, you know, I really still couldn't do anything because my debt, I mean, looking back, Arlene, I still don't understand how I had amassed so much debt over the years, you know, within such a short period of time. But, you know, looking back, I mentally got myself there. I mentally told myself, like, you know what, I'm not getting anywhere. And once I kind of got to mentally seeing myself in a better position, you know, in a better life with good credit, living life with financial stability, my life got better. And I was about 30 at that point. And it seemed like once I stopped focusing on where I was in the moment and just focused on how my life was going to be once I got there, everything just kind of happened, and it took time. It took hard work, you know, and but I got there, and it didn't take me very long once I actually mentally got there. Like I said, from 30 to about was when it really went off for me, the light bulb. Then with over the next 18 months, I worked very hard to build my scores, build my access, and to rebuild my reputation, you know, with how businesses will look at me.
So it took almost a decade, it sounds like, to really get yourself back on track from your 20s to your 30s to your early 30s. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Then you finally got out from under. And so what happened next?
Well, I just noticed that my life totally changed. It's crazy how there's literally two worlds that you live in. You live in the world of good credit, you live, you know, and, you know, financial, you know, freedom, and then there's the world of bad credit, and you're kind of feeling like trapped. And it's just totally different as far as, like, what it did for my life. And, I mean, my life's totally different now. I have, you know, I'm open to opportunities that I was never open to before. I'm able to save money in ways that I wasn't able to save money. Just, you know, it builds up your confidence. You know, it just does so much for you that you'd be very surprised how much something like that has an impact on you, you know, until it's bad.
So it sounds like you had a new sense of freedom once Yes. You got things under control. And I'm sure, yeah, that those early days, like you said, the dark days, had an impact on, you know, how you thought about things going forward. So tell us now what you've built. You have a system called the CHECK system. What is it that you've built up to help others who are in that same situation, the dark days, and want to get out from under?
Well, CHECK systems isn't really something that I've built up. CHECK systems is something that I was in from writing bad checks in my 20s. that's what that is. But that's not really something that I've built up. I've built up different treatment plans and different options, though, for my clients to work with me to kind of understand the importance of their credit and how to kind of, you know, use that education to better their lives. I think first it's a mental shift that you have to make. You know, and from that, you do apply those steps to rebuilding your credit, rebuilding your financial, you know, your financial profile. And I mean, just learning how to save and be financially responsible. But you got to get there mentally. And I think that's kind of what makes working with me a little bit different, because I've been there. I've kind of been through those situations. And so I'm able to apply my real life experiences to help people, you know, out of their, you know, situations related to credit and finance.
And congratulations for doing it yourself and digging yourself out without anybody else's help. So
you
use the power of manifestation and visualization. How do you work with clients to teach them how to use that themselves? And when should clients actually start getting the signals to that they need that help, that they need some coaching and help to, you know, to face reality? So I guess it's a two-part question.
No problem. Yeah, Eileen. Well, I think that for me, it's really about really helping my clients understand that your life is really in your hands. You really hold the keys to what it is that you want to do, and you have to dig deep inside and realize and find out what that is and realize what your purpose is. And understanding that in order to live your best life and to live a good life and to really see yourself in the best position possible, that's going to start with an entry, and that entry is going to be your credit. It doesn't really matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter, you know, what you can buy. You're always limited, and you always have a different sort of life experience when your credit is bad. And just helping people to kind of understand that and understand that credit is your reputation, and just really reinforcing that with them and really kind of showing them, you know, the different techniques and strategies to boost your credit scores and to really use your credit to kind of get you to your next level. And, you know, to kind of, because you have clients who want to start businesses who don't really have the business credit, you know, to kind of get into that. So, I mean, of course, you're going to need to have some personal reputations built up with companies so that they'll be willing to work with you and loan you money so that you can jumpstart that business, you know, or get that home or get that car. So it's about the mental shift. It's not really about the score, the report. It's about mentally getting to a place where you see yourself living your best life. And that is going to include you having the credit.
And when should one start learning about maintaining a, you know, their credit and handling themselves in the responsible way financially? When is the best time to get started?
I wish that they could teach this stuff in school, honestly. I really wish that there's, you know, some sort of course that they could start to prepare, you know, teenagers and college graduates, you know, related to the dangers of misuse of credit. So I think that the earlier, the better. So, I mean, that's when I think that it should start. And then, too, you have to just kind of pay attention to your situation. And if you notice that you're kind of boggled down or being told no a lot in certain credit situations, or, you know, you're kind of in situations where you're not really able to handle things, I think those are at points where you need to really kind of reevaluate things and look like, hey, do I need to get some help? Do I need to get some education? So, yeah. So I think there's 2 points. Young, and then when you notice some issues with your credit.
Can you talk a little bit about how one can use your book to ameliorate some of their, you know, credit nightmares that they have? How does one can you use that book on its own, or do you need help out from the outside as well?
Well, surprisingly, I've had clients use both of my books, you know, for, you know, to empower and better their own lives. Because, I mean, they're both quick books. So I think that there's going to be, my first book is more or less about, like, more like a motivational book to kind of show you, like, my different techniques and strategies, what I did, and using the power of manifestation and visualization to kind of really kind of dig me out of the hole. My second book is more or less, it's more of an educational tool. So if you want to kind of get, and it's, you know, some basis around, you know, credit, savings, you know, medical costs and kind of how to manage those different things, you can learn that too. But then, of course, you do have clients who, well, you do have readers, I should say, who have reached out to me after reading my book, like, hey, you know, I read this, I understand this information, however, I do still need some extra help. So I think it just really kind of depends on the person, the credit profile, and the knowledge of credit kind of going into trying to get things prepared for themselves, so to speak.
So when someone comes to you and says, I need help with my credit, what is the first thing, what is your process to work with them?
Well, it kind of first starts off with like a consultation. I like to basically, because I look at myself as I look at credit as health, you know, I look at credit health as a real issue. So, I mean, of course, there's going to be some clients that I'm not going to be able to help. So we'll kind of sit down, we'll walk through different issues with your report, some of your goals, you know, what is it that you're trying to get to with your credit? What areas of improvement do you want to kind of, you know, improve on, so to speak? So, and just basically creating a plan for them. You know, do you want me to walk you through the process? Do you want some coaching? Do you want someone who's going to kind of hold your hand? Or do you want someone that's going to do the work for you? Because, I mean, there's just different ranges of service that I try to tailor to kind of accommodate my clients.
And so what is a realistic amount of time it will take to repair someone's credit?
Well, again, that's I wish I could give a blanket answer, but I can't. It just really depends on the severity of the report. I've had clients where it's taken a few months to repair their credit, and I've had clients that I'm still working on now, you know, we're approaching up to a year. On average, I would say you're going to be looking at about that 4 to 6 month period where it's going to be, you know, getting things repaired. And it's not about just repairing the report. It's also about establishing new credit and establishing better habits. And like I said, that mental shift, really getting a person to not be afraid of credit and understanding that you can build credit without going into debt. I think that's one of the most important things, is that a lot of people look at credit and they think debt. And it's not like that. It's your reputation. So it really depends. You know, I wish I could say it takes this long, but person you're working with me, you're going to be looking at about 4 to 6 months on average.
And what can they expect in terms of their credit scores and their ability to access credit after 4 to 6 months?
Well, again, it's going to totally depend upon the severity of the profile. But I have had clients that we've worked to clean up their reports, and they've seen well over 100-150 points in a matter of just a few months. So I mean, it could really take someone from like the gutter 500s to, you know, like the 700s, where they're calling me like, oh my God, Juan, I just got approved for my first home, you know, with a good bank loan, thank you so much. So in this, you know, one in particular example that I'm speaking of, she came when she first started with me, I think she was mid-5s. So now she's in mid-7. So, yeah.
So this must give you a lot of satisfaction, knowing that you can help others avoid what you went through, all the darkness that you went through for almost a decade.
Yeah.
And is that why you continue to work in this area? Because it gives you that satisfaction and joy. It's not just you know, getting paid for doing this, but it sounds like it's also something that's near and dear to you.
Arlene, before I got a business coach, I was literally giving away my services for free. Like, because I want people to just know the information. There's so much information out there. There's just so much related to why you need this tool to live your best life. So I just really see there's just like a disparity related to education around credit. And there are a lot of times, like, most households just don't talk about it. And you don't really find out about the dangers of it until it's too late. And if I can continue to prevent that with as many people as possible, absolutely. I think that's why, I know that's why I made my book so cheap. I wanted to make it $1, but Amazon would only let me make it $2.99, because I just wanted to get the information out there and just educate people. And then it just kind of turned into people just started asking me stuff and just kind of wanting my help with things like that. And it just kind of morphed into this business. And it's been amazing to really just see how people's lives have changed and to really help them. And I mean, sometimes I know it sounds cheesy, but I get emotional about it, you know, when they tell me stuff, because I know where they've come from and I've been able to help them get there. And it's not that I feel like I'm like bragging on myself, but it's just to know that you have that much power to really influence somebody's life and really kind of show them a different way. It's kind of magical, so to speak. I really enjoy it.
So, Jay, do you have any other questions to ask Juan today?
Not so much a question, Eileen, but more of a statement. I want to say that, Juan, I want to thank you for, just being really forthright about everything that you've gone through and, helping people get through the other side, because I think that a lot of people go through what you've gone through and they just don't want to admit it. And, and they're afraid to admit it because it makes them feel like there's a lack of integrity. And there's not a lack of integrity by saying, hey, you know what? Things happen in life. And so, if you've got that formula that what you say that you're talking about that can help people get to the other side of it, bless you, brother, is all I can say.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate you too.
Yeah. That's all I can say.
Well, thank you for sharing with us what you've experienced and how you help others. And thank you for coming on today as a guest. How would you like people to reach you to do business with you and learn more about what you do?
Sure, absolutely. You can actually reach out to my website. It's www.shadycredit.com. I'm also on LinkedIn as Juan Anderson, the Credit Doc. I'm on all social media platforms as Shady Credit. That's how you can reach me, or you can email me directly at Luan@Anderkey, which is LUJUAN@Anderkey.com.
Well, thank you very much, Juan, for today's interview with us, and we enjoyed talking with you. And I'd like to thank actually all of our guests today, both Tamara Golden and Juan Anderson, for being here today. And I trust you found this show of value and their information valuable to you. Remember, if you'd also like to connect with me for a complimentary chat to discuss taking your company to the next level or getting the financing you need to do so, please connect with me, Eileen Mendel. It's em@inneredgeinternational.com, or you can send me a text or call me at 760-450-6133. Thank you very much for listening today, and stay tuned for our next show.
Thank you for tuning in to The Balanced Millionaire with your host, Eileen Mendel, CEO of Inner Edge International, business consultant, multimedia marketing expert, renowned speaker and author. Connect with Eileen Mendel, the Balanced Millionaire. Increase your confidence, creativity, balance, awareness, direction, motivation, and catapult your business to the next level and beyond. Connect with Eileen Mendel, the Balanced Millionaire, today at 760-450-6133 or visit InnerEdgeInternational.com.